John Busby with the Culture Buzz, and this is a fun continuing of the dialogue, as I like to say, as I have back here on the Culture Buzz, Eric Larson, one of my favorite author of many people I know, Eric, and it's great to be able to talk to you about your new book, Dead Wake. History I love. When you put history into fictional context, just framed with the facts and everything, as you do, things just come to vibrant life. I was thinking about this, and I tried to figure out, okay, what analogy could I do here in the heartland? You're like this wonderful piece of prairie grass or prairie land that has not had any water for a long time. You know stuff is down there. You are the creative water that just made this story come to vibrant life. And that is really neat.
Well, that's good to hear. I've never been liking the prairie grass before, but I'll take it. You know, one thing I do want to clarify, though, you mentioned a fictional context. I do have to emphasize that in my books there is nothing fictional about them. Nothing. I mean, these are all, absolutely nonfiction works. I do deploy fictional techniques like, cliffhangers and things like that. But these are, be honest to God, straightforward nonfiction, real deal.
And thank you for clarifying that. Yes, I took liberties where I should not have taken liberties. The Lusitania is one of those historical mile markers. Everyone has heard of the disaster. Maybe it's becoming a little more dimmed in the over a century since the incident happened, but what you have done is something that fascinates me by the kind of writer you are, where you do deep research and you flesh out the facts with more facts and testimony, which brings everything to that kind of life. And your technique works so well because I think this gives people a much more comprehensive understanding of the Lusitania, and why they should get back into this subject is because you have done it so well.
Well, thank you. But, my goal, whenever I take on a project, and that's why, frankly, it takes me so long between projects, I'm always looking for a certain kind of story that I can tell and that lends itself to being told with, a certain amount of panache. I don't mean panache as in making stuff up, but something that can be told as a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so, the thing that drew me to the Lusitania, at first glance, it doesn't really seem like the kind of idea that I might necessarily want to take on. It seems too obvious, too familiar, too well-known. But what I discovered at doing some preliminary reading and research was that there was this really vast reservoir of archival materials available on the subject, of a kind that I really had not had access to for any of my prior books, at least not in terms of the depth and richness of the thing. And what that does, you alluded to testimony, for example, that's one component of the material that I found. What it does is it lets you tell the story as a story and not have to, I never do, but, I know that there are some writers who like to, fudge things a bit, make up dialogue and so forth. But if you go the distance, you go really deep into the material, there's no need because it's there. And in the case of Lusitania, it was there in spades.
Well, I love this. Oh, folks, by the way, you need to connect with this author because he also has a body of work that precedes Dead Wake that is just incredible. If you haven't read Eric Larson's works, go to his website, ericlarsonbooks.com. Eric is spelled with a K, E-R-I-K, Larson, O-N, ericlarsonbooks.com. Go to your local independent bookseller and ask for a copy of Dead Wake. If they don't have it, they are probably sold out, but they'll get a copy for you. Support those local independent booksellers. I saw heard an interesting comment, a parallel you had with Dead Wake with a previous book we talked about here, The Devil in the White City.
Yeah, well, what I was referring to there, I referred to it as a maritime Devil in the White City, and what I was really trying to get at there was this sense of this juxtaposition of two forces. In the case of the Lusitania book, there was in the case of the Lusitania book, there was the submarine and the submarine and the submarine commander, who really served as sort of the serial killer in the book, if you will. I mean, very quite literally, he was, in fact, a serial killer, just happened to be one who piloted a submarine. And then juxtaposed against this really this amazing monument to the inventiveness and ingenuity of the age, the Lusitania.
I'm fascinated by something else because, well, many things in your book. What you have done is you've kind of shown the light on a lot of these historical characters, and in doing so, it seems we are better able to understand maybe some motives behind why some things were done, and more importantly, why some things weren't done.
You mean in terms of... Clarify that for me.
Well, okay. In terms of reasons why maybe a figure such as Winston Churchill didn't do all of his job, or maybe why, and I love how you integrate Woodrow Wilson into this, how maybe he was distracted enough that he missed some things.
Well, you know, I don't know that Wilson was so distracted that he missed things. I mean, but it is clear that he was, in fact, distracted. This is you're alluding, of course, to his writing these these many love letters to his girlfriend of the time. That setting a little context here, Wilson, in August of 1914, had lost his wife of many years, really just as the war had begun in Europe. A very tough time for him, cast him deep into grief, and he was very much alone. Come the spring of 1915, he had fallen in love with a 40-something Washington, D.C. widow named Edith Bowling Galt. He had fallen absolutely head over heels in love with her. She wasn't quite so certain that this was a good thing and held him off a bit, especially initially. But he just would not be deterred. He was writing dozens of love letters to her, these most passionate things, even while the Lusitania was crossing the ocean. And so I felt that would be a very interesting element of context for the whole saga. As to Churchill, the lingering mystery of the Lusitania episode is why the ship was left by itself, unprotected, in the Irish Sea on the morning of May 7th, 1915, the day it got attacked by the submarine. There's no smoking memo. There's nothing from Churchill, say, hey, we got to leave this ship in harm's way because maybe we'll get America into the war. There's nothing like that. But there's a lot of tantalizing material, sort of an accumulation of evidence that suggests that, possibly something was going on, and that's what one quite prominent British naval intelligence historian felt toward the end of his life. He had come to the conclusion that there had to have been some kind of a plot involved, but he didn't know what kind of plot, and he didn't want to lay blame in any one direction, but he felt that was the only thing that explained it. Now, do we lay this on the feet of Churchill? No, we can't. There's nothing to clearly indicate any sort of action on his part to put the ship in harm's way. At the same time, it is beyond doubt that if something had happened early in the war to bring America in on the side of Britain, Churchill would have been delighted. And he pretty much says as much, frankly, in an early letter to the Board of Trade, British Board of Trade, where he says that, we need all the traffic we can get from America. And then he says this one really compelling thing that has transfixed historians ever since, where he says, we need all this traffic, and if some of it gets into trouble, better still. So that's our boy Churchill.
Wow. Eric Larson is my guest. We're talking about his latest book, just a fascinating book. It shows how vibrant history can be when crafted by such an author. EricLarsonBooks.com is his website, E-R-I-K, Larson with an O-N. You should know that by now, folks. He's a good writer. He's got his books out there. One thing that fascinated me, and just from a kind of a, I am not the deep historian on this topic that you are by any means, but during that time, there was an international law known as the Cruiser Rules, which dictated that non-military ships were pretty much safe. But expand on that.
Well, when this one of the things that is very important to recognize about this period when the Lusitania was sunk is that The submarine as a weapon for naval warfare was brand new. You really have to get your mind into that to understand how the story came about and how it played out. Nobody understood how a submarine how drastically the submarine was going to change the rules of so-called civilized naval warfare against merchant or civilian shipping. What had been in existence prior to World War I for a century were a body of rules agreed to by seafaring nations called the cruiser rules or prize law, and these specified certain behaviors towards civilian shipping. For example, there was an outright ban on attacking passenger ships, and if you wanted to stop a ship you believed to be carrying contraband, you had to make sure, above all, that you kept all the crew safe, either by bringing them aboard or by sending a so-called prize crew onto the target ship and having them sail it into a port where a prize court would then determine its fate. Well, the submarine changed all this incredibly, although nobody really knew how drastically the changes were going to be. The Lusitania just happened to sort of stumble into the midst of this sea change, if you will, of rules. And one reason being that the submarine was one thing I came away from this book believing firmly is that a weapon of war, however novel, will be used to its absolute fullest extent, no matter what the rules governing warfare at the time. That is to say, the thing the submarine was really good at was attacking from a position of virtual invisibility, attacking without warning from under the sea. This was the most, according to the cruiser rules and prize law, this is the most craven kind of warfare one could imagine, and therefore nobody could imagine it. But it was the thing that submarines did best, so naturally it was the thing that they would eventually do. It was also the case that submarines were too small to have any spare crew to put on board ships. Even if they wanted to follow cruiser rules or prize law, they couldn't. So a variety of factors, conspired to make the outcome inevitable, one of those outcomes being the sinking of a ship like the Lusitania.
Wow. Now, among the dead, almost 1,200 dead, were 128 Americans, correct? And you also infuse many names, and I'm going to toss one out and let you think about it for a moment as I try to set things up. Dwight Harris, a New Yorker. But you mention these people, and they really add some sparkle and color to the facts and the story that really is infused in the Lusitania incident.
Yeah, well, the thing that, if you're going to write about something like this, and I knew from the beginning that the only reason I wanted to write about this is because of this rich archival base and what it would let me do, which is to tell the story in a way that I felt hadn't been told before. That is, with a really high level of actual real life suspense. I got to play Alfred Hitchcock only in a nonfiction context. And to do that, you really have to have people to kind of hold hands with and put at risk, and then see how they fare. One of those being Dwight Harris. Who is in fact my favorite character in the book, even though he's not the biggest character in the book, but he is my favorite, and I like him because, well, first of all, he left a very detailed letter about the voyage. He did survive, and so he left this very nice, very detailed letter to his mother, which I came across in the archives here in New York City, New York Historical Society. And in fact, anybody who's in the book, by the way, any character who's in the book is in because he or she left a lot of detail, because that's what you need. You can't fake it. But the thing I like most about Dwight Harris is that he was this young guy on his way to England with an engagement ring in tow. He wanted to ask his girlfriend to get to become affianced and eventually get married. And but what infuses this letter is this. Really charming enthusiasm at first having survived the disaster, and second having been part of this big moment in history. I mean, every other sentence has a chain of exclamation points, and it's just really a very, very charming letter.
Interesting. Dead Wake is the name of the book. It obviously is about the sinking of the Lusitania. Eric Larson is its wonderful author. I'm just curious because there, as you have discovered, there is such a treasure trove of information on this incident, but no one previously had really delved into it like you did. Was the Titanic something that overshadowed this?
Well, first, let me clarify. Other people have delved into the Lusitania. It's been written about before, but in a different fashion, actually. And I think if I bring anything to the party, I mean, there are new bits, frankly, of history in my book. But if I bring anything to the party, it is in fact this just really trying to somehow capture a sense of the actual real life suspense that people dealt with while on the ship. You know, try to put readers on that ship in a very compelling way in with the point of view of people of that era, and so that's what I bring to the party. That's the Titanic. I mean, it is fascinating to think about. You know, the Titanic, sank 3 years earlier, and you know was just absolutely captured the world's imagination. I mean, and why not? Here's this amazing vessel. The latest in modern technology, said to be unsinkable, sinks on its maiden voyage, and not just sinks on its maiden voyage, but in such a way that was guaranteed to capture the imagination. I mean, all these famous rich people, the ship goes down in relatively leisurely 3 hours. Lusitania, by the way, went down in 18 minutes. You know, the Titanic sank in 3 hours, and, you know, what a conundrum. It did not have enough lifeboats, you know, and that was the core problem. People could have gotten off if there had been boats, but because there was plenty of time. So there was a lot of romance associated with the Titanic. If the Titanic had not been sunk, by striking an iceberg or whatever ultimately was the result, I mean, I believe it was an iceberg with confounding factors associated with the captain's speed and so forth. But if it hadn't been for that, if there had been no Titanic, it may well have been that the Lusitania would be the thing to capture the imagination. However, the thing about the Lusitania is that it often gets subsumed in the whole, in all the history leading up to World War One. You know, World War One, if you pardon the expression, was the good stuff, right? And everything else was preamble. And so, the Lusitania has been, I believe, wrongly actually perceived as being, you know, really merely an element of the run up to World War One, and you know, it's just it got just overshadowed by all that.
Amazing. Eric Larson is my guest. His brilliant new book by this brilliant author is Dead Wake. I encourage you to get your copy. It is one of the most fascinating reads you will ever delve into. EricLarsonBooks.com is the website. As we wrap things up, I want to ask one more question, and that is, what can people in the here and future take from your book and the story and the lessons maybe to be learned?
Well, you know, I'm not sure.
Maybe there isn't.
On a direct level, I mean, I'm not sure that there are really any lessons to be learned. This was an event distinct to its time. However, you know, one can sort of extrapolate a bit and say, you know, like for example, in the case of weapons, you know, as I said, I mean, I did really become very, very much convinced that, you know, if a new weapon, you know, arrives on the scene, it will be used. B, it will be used to its maximum effect. And so then you take that from the era of the Lusitania and take that to now, and you look around and you say, well, okay, what have we got that's, you know, in that same sort of category? And, well, one of the things is the drone. You know, the drone, but also, you know, the sort of secret, you know, this thing that we all have either forgotten or are trying our best to forget, which is, you know, nuclear weapons and all over the country, all over the world now. And you know, it just makes you think, hey, there's a lot of confidence, a lot of hubris out there that says nobody would ever use one of these things. And in the case of the Lusitanian submarines, they felt the same way about the submarine being used to attack civilian shipping, you know. So, but anyway, I don't want to get too dark about this.
No.
there may not be any really truly direct lessons, but it's, frankly, believe me, it was one hell of a story.
It definitely is, and you tell it so well. Eric Larson, make sure you get a copy of his latest offering to us, Dead Wake. It is a fascinating read, and you will be captivated by the complex and complete story of the Lusitania that he has presented in Dead Wake. Eric, thank you so much for this book and for all that you presented to us, and we look forward to future offerings. You are just a master researcher who then weaves together just incredible stories. And as I have been properly corrected, it's all fact, which is, makes it even better.
Thank you, John.
You take care, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Yeah, next time.
Bye-bye.